Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director of SUNY Oneonta and the current chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And on today's show, we have a very special guest, Len Giroux from the class of 1959, who we will be inducting into our Athletic Hall of Fame on June 7th, 2025. Welcome to the show, Len.
Well, thank you.
I just want to, first of all, on behalf of the Hall of Fame Committee, congratulate you on this well-deserved honor.
I'm very honored.
The Class of 1959, that's quite a few years ago. Oneonta certainly was a different place back then. But can you just maybe give us an idea? We'll start with how did you find your way to Oneonta?
Well, I had several fortunate situations, starting with my high school basketball coach, Arnold Rist. He served in World War II with Hal Chase, and the two of them had graduated from Corwin together. And so that was one connection, and another connection. Another gentleman by the name of Edwin Chase, no relation to Hal Chase, was the Tahawus YMCA director where I grew up, which was a titanium mining area. Everything owned by the company. Company owned everything, houses, churches, stores, the YMCA, all of it. So was a different experience, but the when I got to Oneonta, at the same time, fortunately, Edwin Chase, the director of the YMCA in Tahawus, had left there and had become the YMCA director in Oneonta.
Oh, jeez.
So I had a full-time advocate, particularly in getting jobs, because my home situation was, at the time, there were four other boys, and then I had a sister born while I was in college. So my father and mother had, as you know, full-time jobs. But Oneonta, I decided, after serving two or three summers on a youth program, how much I like working with children. But having graduated from a very small high school in Newcomb Central School, but having great experiences with Arnold Rist, who was the basketball coach, and winning three consecutive Section 7 basketball championships in the state of New York, and being on that team with Arnold being our coach, I had some other offers of going on to school. So in each case, they felt a good thing for me to do would be spend a year in prep school. Since there were only nine in my high school graduating class, so it was easy to stay in the top 10 academically. But still, I did not have a good background in foreign languages in particular. So I spent a year with a full scholarship at Manlius Military Academy outside of Syracuse. And there I was fortunate because I had an opportunity to work with Whitey Anderson, who was a really great basketball coach back in those days. And fortunately, the Syracuse Nationals, which probably nowadays nobody has ever heard of them, but Dolph Schayes and Charmin and several others, they practiced at the Manlius facility every single day before we went in for practice. But when we got there, we usually got to spend close to 35, 40 minutes playing with them and
Wow.
getting ideas from them. So Dolph Shays and Sherman both were extremely helpful to me, in particular in shooting outside
Yeah.
and outside shots and faking and doing jump shots and shooting behind screens and so
Yeah.
on. And I was only around 5 foot 10, 11. And so all these other kids, and they're 6 feet and 6 foot 5 and so on at Manlius. But anyway, that's how I ended up at Oneonta.
Wow. And certainly as a two-sport athlete in basketball and baseball, I mean, you certainly made your impact felt right away. I mean, what was it like playing first? What was it like playing on the basketball team?
Well, in 1955, when I first went there, there was Dr. Chase had had basically on the team 12 players, but almost half of them were Oneonta City
Yeah.
players who had played together for like 2 or 3 years in high school, and then they were the starters on the Oneonta state team. So it was extremely difficult to break in,
Yeah.
somewhat frustrating because I knew I could play at their level
Yeah.
or better. And of course, at that age, you always think you're better. But anyway, I was playing against Keith McCarthy. He
Yeah.
was on the team, he was a starter. But Don Jester and Joe Spangfeller and John Olive and Jim Stanley and Al Slawson and Bob Bondar,
Yeah. Yeah.
they were really strong players. And of course, all bigger than me, except for Keith Car McCarthy.
Right.
He was the point guard,
Yeah.
and of course, that's where I was competing. And about the only time I got to play was if he got hurt,
Yeah.
but my the very first game I ever started in college was I think it was in January, February of the 55-56 basketball year, and it was against New Paltz, and Keith had gotten hurt and couldn't play. And they started me, and it was in my first start. I was giving it everything I had in my body and ended up scoring 29 points in that game. And the worst part about it was we lost the game by 1 point.
Oh, jeez.
And I didn't like losing. But anyway, that was the biggest challenge I had, and other than finances,
Yeah.
I had to earn my own way.
Right. Now, so you talked about success. You didn't lose too many games in basketball. I know
No.
that. With all those guys, I mean, the first three guys you named there, McCarthy, Jester, and Joe Spanfelder, all three of them are in our Hall of Fame. So you played with some guys that were pretty good.
Oh yeah, they were excellent, and but I learned a lot from them.
Yeah.
As you know, in sports, you learn from each other, and
Right. Right.
yeah.
Now, so a lot of those, now you talked about as the years went on there in basketball, Hal Chase would spend his time talking with John Wooden
Yeah,
and
see.
bringing back some ideas. Why don't you talk about
Well,
that
he
a little
went
bit?
to when I, it was during the summer of my freshman year, after the freshman year, that summer. I know Hal went to a clinic with John Wooden, and he came back with the idea, because we had such strong players,
Yeah.
he came back with the idea of a two-platoon system.
Yeah.
And so he divided the team pretty much in half, and so we didn't really get to play a whole lot, and it was very difficult if you weren't in a starting five.
Right.
that going in at halftime with a new five.
Yeah.
And then he once in a while switch individuals in and out, but I didn't particularly like the platoon system, and he got rid of it, you know, after the sophomore year. So my junior and senior year, I was starting pretty much every game.
Now, what back then, did you guys play like four? What were the length of the quarters? Did you play 4 10-minute quarters, 12s? What did you play?
At that time, it was 10-minute quarters.
Oh, okay.
But I think it changed later on.
Right.
And of course, we didn't have the 3-point shot.
Nope.
And that was my specialty.
Yeah.
I was out shooting outside and shooting behind screens. And of course, we didn't have the game clock as they have now.
Oh, right.
And of course, there wasn't the portal system and money involved.
Yeah.
And there was absolutely no support for athletes. I mean, there was no one other than your coach
Right.
and any other advocate. In my case, like I said, I had an advocate at the YMCA where he hired me as much as he could.
Right.
And then I worked many, many other jobs with for professors, et cetera.
Right.
But I didn't find faculty, probably the professors, I would say about 20% might have liked athletics.
Right.
The other 80% were into academics, not which was the right thing.
Right.
But didn't get a lot of support from. And one case that probably bothered me the most was that my student teaching professor at Oneonta was not in support of athletics and assigned me my last student teaching experience during baseball season when I was a senior and I wanted to play baseball very much.
Yeah.
I love baseball, and I fortunately had an opportunity to play with the Oneonta Indians at that time. They later on became the Red Sox and then the Yankees and other
Right.
farm teams. But that was a good experience. And I got to know Nick Lambros. I played with him. And
Yeah.
we became lifelong friends. And,
Yeah.
of course, that was the biggest advantage at Oneonta. Many of those basketball players I played with have been lifelong friends.
Right. Now, right, because I was just going to say, so most of those guys, you'd move right from basketball season to baseball season, and it was
Yes.
pretty much the same group of guys.
Yes.
So what was the baseball experience like?
Only on the winters,
Yeah.
which you're familiar with, in the spring at Oneonta, you never know if you're getting 10 feet of snow or whether you're getting a lot of rain.
Right.
But we had both many times in ball games. And there were some years, I think, well, in 1958, I recall, I think we only played seven or eight games. Everything was either rained out or
Right.
so it was extremely limited.
Right. Now you so you were the cleanup hitter. So
Yes.
how did you manage that?
Well, in high school, I was a real good hitter. Again, we won a Section 7 baseball championship in high school. But I was able to hit under pressure, and there were occasions where, you know, I could hit from both sides, which many could not. And so I had some advantages, particularly with real fast right-handed pitchers, and I could switch sometimes
Wow.
and do better against a fast pitcher. The left-handed pitchers were the ones I loved, but because I could hit a lot of shots into right field on them, and particularly if I was under pressure with bases loaded or a couple. But I love baseball and really enjoyed playing with the Oneonta Indians because they Frank Malzahn, played in Oneonta. And then he went on third base with the Red Sox, so I followed him and had some great baseball experiences. There was a I was in the history department with Dr. Curtis, who was my favorite, and Dr. Gordon, and they employed a professor out of Tennessee, and his name was Harry McDonald. And he came in, he loved baseball. So he assisted the baseball program and was a good hitter himself in his day. And he helped me out a great deal. So.
So baseball, certainly your athletic career was very you had a pretty accomplished career there. We're, obvious we're putting you in the Hall of Fame for that, but certainly your academics. You went on to receive master's degrees and extended certifications and spent your entire professional career in education.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about some of those, those highlights along the way?
Well, when I left Oneonta, I took a part-time job at Tappan Zee High School, working with foreign students and doing the Americanization program back then, where I was working with the family as well as the student, and doing full-time at Columbia University. So that was a struggle, but I loved it, and I finished at Columbia, taught a full year at Nanuet High School, and Al Slawson from Oneonta, who was on the team with me, decided he was going to go to Arizona, and so I just left my job. Picked up and my wife and I went to Arizona. And one of the issues back then was that you could go into the program at University of Arizona in Tucson, and I could continue in the field of American history and pick up my doctor, which I wanted to do. But while I was there, an opportunity came up in the Adirondacks. The previous summer, I was on a canoe trip with a group of children in the youth program. There was lightning. We were in aluminum canoes, and I immediately got them to shore. And when I landed at the shoreline, it was a camp called Camp Onondaga. And it was had been closed for like 10 years. So anyway, I always wanted to run my own business and a camp business in particular with children. So while I'm at the University of Arizona, the opportunity came up. I found the owner, and he agreed to do a lease purchase offer. And here I am with no money. And anyway, got the money, borrowed from friends, or I had a friend that was in a banking system and he helped me a great deal. And I signed a contract and started my own business and camp business. And it's came back east, gave up on the program in Arizona, but I completed a semester, so I added about 16 credit hours there. Came back, started recruiting, opened the camp, ran the camp for 10 years, very successful, and then sold it. And while I was doing that, I was teaching history at Nanuet High School, New Rochelle High School. When I came back from Arizona, I went directly to New Rochelle High School. But after that, spent another 7, 8 years at Nanuet High School, about 18 miles north of New York City.
Right.
And from there, I went to Lake Luzerne in New York State, where I was a high school principal, then became superintendent. And then from there, I went to the New York State Education Department in 1978 and left there in 1984 after 6 years. And I was in charge of the district, BOCES superintendents across New York State, as well as the school improvement program, which the Board of Regents identified in the late 70s, 200 worst performing schools in New York State.
Okay.
And they gave me that little challenge. So I developed a resource allocation program and coordinated it with the BOCES throughout the state. And after 6 years of that, came to Virginia in 1984 and have been here ever since. So I was a superintendent here for 18 years here in Virginia. So right. I did a total of 43 years.
Yeah. And I tell you, that is incredible.
So
I have a background in physical education. That's what I went to college for, before finding my way into sports information. But, you know, education is so important and we need so many good people to be involved in it. And certainly just reading your bio is you certainly left an imprint on a lot of young people.
Well, thank you.
And certainly that, you know, only on a, you know, education and just talking about it and some of the other people that we've inducted in the past that have, you know, kind of followed along the same path as you and they were superintendents and spent, you know, their entire professional careers in education and Oneonta's name is out there and everybody knows, you know, how good of a school it is, more or less because of people like yourself. So.
Well, when I retired, there was a young lady at Oneonta who applied and received one of the scholarships that I had developed from a book I wrote about the Hawes. And that young lady has done exceptionally well. In fact, just spoke with her a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And that was the, the Oneonta experience was basically the foundation that I personally needed, to go on and help me a great deal.
Right. I was going to ask you to maybe talk a little bit about, you know, that experience and why you think it helped you.
Well, when I was there, of course, in the 1950s, in the early 50s, you know, with the Korean War,
mm-hmm.
there were a great number of the young men that were there were veterans. They were coming back during that time from Korea with unbelievably difficult experiences as young men.
Right.
And those were the days when they were searching nationwide for men in education.
Right.
So I had an advantage, I think, as a man. Real discouraged that there were not one woman's sport when I was at Oneonta.
Yeah.
And I know that's changed over the years, and I'm so appreciative to see that. But the people in Oneonta, and as I said, I was fortunate because having Al Chase as director to YMCA,
yeah.
I mean, that was like having home there.
Yeah.
And without my knowledge at the time, my mother doing those scrapbooks, of which, you know, set aside for years until I think it was in the around 2005, Kramer Harrington, who also was on my team,
yeah,
and is a Hall of Fame, I think,
Yeah, he's in our Hall of Fame.
recipient, right? Contacted me and said that he would like to nominate me in some way for the Hall of Fame. And that was the last time I ever heard anything about it, and got those scrapbooks out and sent most of them to him
Yeah.
because he was gathering information for his own induction.
Yeah.
But only on a, I mean, just getting jobs there. And Nick Lambrose's brother with the restaurant in Oneonta, George, was his older brother. And George, on occasions, would give a nice free meal to Bob Bondar and myself.
Yeah.
And Bob was my roommate up on Elm Street, just block and a half down from the college.
Yeah.
So I was able to walk to for everything I needed, pretty much. And I had support from a lot of professors who employed me to do work at their homes and
Right.
stuff. And so I
Yeah.
was able to pay my own way through.
Yeah. How many, just trying to think of some of the people that might have been around then. I mean, was George Werth-Mirler still there?
I don't remember that name.
Okay. He was another, he was like a mid, like when basketball was, when the sport started again after World War II, he was an Oneonta guy, and he was like the big, like point guard basketball player back in the late 40s. But he graduated with an education degree and did some, oversaw some student teachers. So I
Well,
didn't.
I played against several others who I think are in the Hall of Fame. Ted Huntington,
Oh, yeah.
Frank Green.
Yeah.
I played against, let's see, Joe, well, Joe Spangfeller was on the team
Yeah.
with me. A fellow by the name of Decker.
Laddie Decker.
Yeah, Laddie. He
Yeah.
came in. He came in, I think, during my junior or senior year, but didn't play in the basketball team at that time.
Right.
I think he was after. But I played against him in some intramural programs,
Okay. Yeah.
in fast pitch softball. Because
Oh.
I was a fast pitch softball player as well. Love softball because it was
Wow.
so fast.
Yeah.
Love the speed of the game,
Yeah. Yeah.
you
Is there anyone that, that you'd like to maybe thank at this point for maybe getting you here? I mean, certainly you're a young 89 years old now, and we're certainly looking forward to seeing you in June.
Well, I'll be 90 in May 2nd,
Yeah.
and so the June 7th induction will be that'll be a nice birthday present.
Yeah.
The people I'd like to thank the most were the Chases,
Yeah.
Al and Hal,
Yeah.
not related. They were strong support. Dr. Curtis, Dr. Gordon. Dr. McDonald,
Yeah.
and Dr. McDonald, by the way, just to show you the relationship between students and professors, he walked into my economics class one morning and said, "Gentlemen," he says, "I have four tickets to the World Series, the Yankees and Dodgers." This is in its fall of 1956.
Wow.
And he says, "My wife doesn't like baseball. So does anyone want to go?" And my hand went, both of my hands went up right
Yeah.
away. So he paid the entire amount,
Wow.
$8.50 for a box seat
Oh,
that he
geez.
paid, had great seats behind third base. And it was the Don Larsen
Oh, geez.
game in 1956 where he pitched the first and the only ever perfect game in baseball in a World Series.
And you got to
So
see
what an experience. And
it.
I was a professor at Oneonta. So he's certainly not alive now, but
No.
I thank all of those professors that were so good to me.
Well, we certainly enjoyed spending some time with you here this afternoon, and I'm looking so forward to meeting you in June and your family. You said you're bringing all your children, grandchildren, that kind of stuff. I mean, so this is going to be a wonderful experience for you, and we're certainly, proud of everything you've accomplished, and we're going to have a chance to, in front of everyone, kind of celebrate your life and your athletic career. So, congratulations again.
Well, thank you so much, and I saw the Oneonta magazine with your background at Oneonta. So you gave it 23 years. I only gave it four.
Well, I tell you, I'm still giving because even though I retired, I'm still doing this because it means so much to me. And, just to be able to celebrate the greatness of Oneonta Athletics. I mean, someday I'll have to stop doing it, but until then, you know what I mean? I still want to be able to, celebrate what's, the student athletes that have done so much. So for me, it's just as exciting,
Well, it's a pleasure meeting you this way. This is the very first Zoom call I've ever done
Oh,
since I
okay.
since I've been retired for 23 years.
Wow.
All of this technology has taken place since my retirement.
Well, it certainly has allowed us to stay connected and shorten the distance between, people and being able to communicate and interact. And so again, I mean, for us, it's worked out pretty well for me because again, I'm able to do these and just for me, when I get to put them on the website and let people see them and hear them, I just think that it just adds to the overall,
Well,
celebration.
and of course, the person I had to thank the very most has been my mom. My mother was a strong supporter. My dad didn't like athletics, but my mother loved it, and she had a she got the only on a newspaper, and I forget how much she had to pay. I think it was $1.20 or something for having it mailed to her, but. She kept scrapbooks all throughout high school, all throughout college, and she was very special in my life, and I dedicated the book that I wrote to her, and that book is at in the Oneonta College Library, so I appreciate everything you folks have done.
Well, again, Len, we're certainly looking forward to seeing you in June and congratulations again. And certainly, we're just looking forward to meeting the whole family.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we've spent some time with Len Giroux today, class of 1959, and we hope that you'll continue to check back and listen to more episodes of the Ozone. So for now, take care and we'll see you soon.